All right, we will be getting started with the Bible study shortly. I just want to give everyone a quick little update on what's happening here. You know, it's been kind of strange over at the church right now. We don't have a road really to get to the church. The road is all torn up and it makes the parking lot inaccessible. But to make matters worse, we have no phone or internet over there right now. And I was finally able to get in touch with Charter Spectrum today, and they sent a guy over to the church, and he told me that the road crew must have taken the line down. It's been taken down entirely, and he warned that he could put it back up, but if he did that, they're probably just going to take it back down again. This is very frustrating for us because we want to do our live streams, and we can't do them at the church right now under these conditions, obviously. But he did say that they're going to send a tech out on Sunday morning because the road crew won't be working, and they're going to hook up that line so that we will have internet access on Sunday at least. But he did warn that the road crew will probably take it back down on Monday morning when they start working again. So that's just a very temporary solution. So if you could keep us in prayer regarding all of this, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I am going to be looking into perhaps getting a mobile hotspot to use at the church or something in that order, something that'll give us a backup internet solution anyway. But you know, it's been very frustrating, obviously, because we really need our internet service so that we can broadcast to all of you. But in the meantime, we've been able to do that here, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we have internet here at Shirley's house, and we can still be with you all in that way. And, well, with that thought in mind, I'm going to now turn the microphone over to Shirley, and we'll see what the Lord has put on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. We have a wonderful God. Amen. And, you know, it's just amazing. These are times that are unusual and different to each and every one of us. But praise the Lord, our God is the same. And praise the Lord, there is nothing too hard for Him. We are blessed to know the Lord, that is for sure. And we're going to just begin this by praying as we begin here tonight and asking God to have His way. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again, oh Lord, for this great and wonderful privilege. We thank You, Lord, oh God, oh Lord, that You've given us opportunities to turn our hearts, our lives over to Thee, Lord. We thank You that the door of salvation is still open, oh God, oh Lord, and that there's nothing too hard for You, Lord Jesus. We just pray, oh God, that You'd have Your way here tonight. God, You know the needs of Your people, Lord. And oh God, You know the lateness of the hour. God, You see our situations. You know our straits. You know our needs. Oh God, oh Lord, there's nothing too hard for You, Lord. And we just thank You. We serve a God who can do all things. You have no limitations. You have no bounds. You are the Alpha and You are the Omega, Lord. You are the first. You are the last. Oh God, oh Lord, You see and You know it all, Lord. We thank You, God, You're here tonight, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You would move. Oh God, that You touch our hearts. Oh God, You've set us free. And I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that we would feel that freedom tonight. Oh Lord, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, Lord. We're freed from sin, Lord, when we've turned our lives over to You and obeyed the gospel. I pray, oh God, that You'd work in every heart, oh Lord. Oh God, that You'd work in every life, Lord. Oh God, if there be some who have not yet committed their lives to You, Lord, I pray that You'd work in their hearts too, Lord. Oh God, we need You, Lord. Oh God, we ask that You would work in the precious name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, we turn this over to You, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that You would have Your way. In Jesus' precious name, Lord. Oh Lord, I ask You for the words. Oh God, for Your anointing, Lord, for Your authority, oh God, for Your ability. Oh God, we need You, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd work, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Oh God, set the captives free and bring deliverance to them that are bound. Oh God, loosen us and fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Let your presence come down, Lord. You know every need, Lord. We give it to you in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, it is a wonderful privilege to have God's Word and to be able to open it up tonight. Oh my, we have a roadmap, something to direct us, something to lead us. Times as they are, and uncertainties and new territory. And thank the Lord that, oh God, He is with us. These are not unknowns to Him. He foresaw this time before the foundation of the earth, and He knows every predicament, every situation, and He is a faithful God who can meet every need, and that's absolute. Praise the Lord. That's our God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message tonight, Take Up Thy Cross. Amen. Take up thy cross. And to begin here, let's go to Luke the 9th chapter here, read a few verses here. Luke chapter 9, praise the Lord. And let's look at verse 23 here to begin. Praise our God. Amen. Verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right there with this thought. But praise the Lord, you know, it's so clear here, the great need to follow the Lord. And there is a cross that the Lord gives each and every one of us. I can't say that we love to carry a cross, but yet there is no way. We have this flesh. We're in this world. And, you know, there are burdens to this life. There are cares. And I believe that cross indicates the things that we must carry in this life. But praise the Lord, we know one who goes with us and helps us to bear that cross. And praise the Lord, it's not a thing that we just should do occasionally, you know, just when we just have that inclination and feel like it. But here in the scripture, here in the book of Luke, it indicates that there's a great necessity that if we're going to come after the Lord, if we're going to follow after Him, then there's a denying of ourselves. There's a turning of our lives over to the Lord, our surrendering of our wills. And it's not to be just an occasional thing again. But it says here, take up his cross daily. Oh, this is something that we need to do every day, to take up that cross, that burden, that responsibility that the Lord has given us each and every day, and follow him. Amen. For surely, as it tells us in verse 24, if we want to save our life by doing our own thing, by having a good time in our own way and being popular and following the dictates that the natural man instinctively follows, then we're going to lose our life, because those things are just temporary. You know, they're going to just be, you know, fun or proving themselves for just a very short time. But there's something much deeper, and that is doing God's will. And praise the Lord, it is used here, the terminology, that we would lose our life for his sake. In other words, we give our will, our ambitions, our desires over to the Lord. We surrender those things to God. And we follow him. It's not what we would want to do of our own self, but it's what God would have us to do. And the thing is, you know, when we really give it over to the Lord and follow Him, we find that, oh my, there's nothing better. There's nothing more satisfying than doing the things that God would have us to do. I mean, if you're out there and you're witnessing to people and, you know, you're telling somebody about Jesus and, wow, there's a response. Oh, my, there's nothing more happy than that. You know, you just can feel, you know, the peace that God gives. And you know, oh, there's just such a satisfaction and joy knowing that you've planted just a little bit, perhaps, into somebody's heart and life. And, you know, it could make a difference. It could make a difference for all eternity. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's nothing better than following the Lord Jesus. And yes, the point is made in verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he would gain the whole world, but yet lose his own soul? And that's what it comes down to in the long run. You know, people can do their own thing. They can have ambitions and even fulfill them if they will and so on and gain riches and respect and fame or whatever the heart seeks. But there's going to be no advantage to that in the long run if for all of that one's soul would be lost, because we all have an eternal destination. We all have that moment when we're going to stand before the Lord and have to give an account of our life to the living God. And then, my, oh my, we don't want to be ashamed at that moment. And yes, it tells us in verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory. And in his Father's and of the holy angels. Oh, that moment when everything matters. Oh my, what we've done for the Lord, how we've lived this life, that's all that's going to matter. You know, have we done it unto God? Have we turned everything over to the Lord? Have we pleased Him? Have we done His will? Have we obeyed the gospel? That's all that will matter at that moment. Or have we been ashamed of Him? Oh my, it's going to be so sad if that is indeed the case, that we could indeed know that we had been ashamed of our Lord and not stood up for Him and His ways and not lived the Christian life that God expects us to live. There's going to be so much shame. I know we're not going to be able to look at the Lord at such a moment. You know, we're not going to be able to hear Him say, well done, at such a moment, if we've only lived unto ourselves and done the things that we wanted to do in our own way. But praise the Lord, God has made a better way. Yes, a way that leads to life, everlasting life. Oh, He said it's a straight and it's a narrow way. He said, Jesus said, that few there be that find it. Because, oh yes, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And Jesus said, many there be that go in thereat. But praise the Lord, there is a straight gate and a narrow way that leadeth unto life. And praise the Lord, if we can follow that way, it's going to lead to eternal life. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Do you know Him tonight? Praise the Lord. Oh, there's great joy in our souls when all things has been made right by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise our God. Let's go to Mark the 10th chapter here for some verses. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 10 here. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to start right in this chapter with verse 17. Verse 17 here in Mark chapter 10. Tells us in verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And what a question. It's a question that everybody needs to ask. It's such an important question. Oh, one that stands above all the others. That great need, oh yes, to know where our eternal destiny is going to be, and are we right with the Lord? And here comes this man, and obviously he was very eager. Jesus had gone unto the highway or byway or whatever the way it says here. And there's one, he's running. And oh yes, he wants to know. He kneels at Jesus and he asks, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now Jesus replies with a question to him. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And there you have a very good point too. You know, of our own self, our own righteousnesses are but filthy rags in the eyes of God. And of ourself, there is no goodness in us, contrary to common opinion. But Jesus was making this point, there is none good but one, and that is God. And that's the bottom line. Any goodness that we do is because of God. Amen. He's the only one who could take our lives and bring goodness out of us, praise the Lord, and make us, oh yes, to be acceptable in His sight. So he goes on to say, Jesus went on to say in verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And this young man, he answers in verse 20, "And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then it tells us in verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." You see, Jesus could perceive that although this man had diligently, I would say, followed the commandments and obeyed them to the best of his ability. And Jesus could see that. I believe there was genuineness there. It says Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You know, he was a sincere guy. He's really been trying. Like so many people, I believe there's a lot of sincere people in this world who are doing the best that they know to do. But praise the Lord, there's more. And Jesus knew that there was something in this man that needed to be changed. Because I believe what Jesus was seeing, that he trusted in his riches. So Jesus told him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Oh, I'm sure Jesus had hit it right on the head there. Because it tells us in verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" See, there's a point here, and I'm sure it's very common that people who have wealth, and of course it's not impossible, as we will read as we go down into the scripture more, but yet, you know, it's more difficult, you could say, very difficult for them that trust in their riches to put their trust in the living God and to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said in verse 25, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Oh my, it was indeed very difficult. And Jesus was explaining, there was a gate that entered into Jerusalem, and it was called the needle's eye, and it was a low gate. And so if you were on a camel, you had to unload everything that was on that camel. And the camel had to get down on its knees in order to get through that gate. And I can imagine camels probably have a little spunk to them, I'm going to guess. And, you know, it might be very hard to get that camel to do that. You know, and first of all, you know, the hard work to unload that camel, to take all, you know, the baggage that was on that camel off. And certainly if there was somebody riding on that camel, you know, you'd have to get off, you'd have to dismount. But anyway, Jesus was using this to illustrate this point that if you're trusting in riches, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Oh, it'd be possible. It'd be possible if that camel would cooperate and get down on his knees and go through that narrow gate. But, oh, I don't know. It tells us in verse 26, and they were astonished out of measure. Oh, this was so amazing to them, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Oh, praise the Lord. I like that. I love that fact. Oh, yes, impossibilities can become impossibilities can become possibilities with God. Amen. The things that are impossible for man are possible for God. Praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And certainly they had done that. They had left their ships, their livelihood, to follow Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Lord has a way of compensating his people. You know, we might have to leave dear ones behind in following the Lord, but the Lord knows how to give us recompenses for that. You know, we might have left family, but perhaps there is a new family that the Lord will give us. Praise the Lord. And I know there are some of you, yes, that indeed have found out that since you have been following the Lord, that family members don't like you very well. And, you know, they don't respond to you the same. And, you know, they think you're kind of crazy quite often. But praise the Lord knows all about it. And, oh, yes, he knows how to give us friends and family beyond what we would expect. And we know there are drawbacks in this world. It says with persecutions there. Oh, yes, we suffer those things in this world. All they that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have the great and wonderful hope of eternal life. Praise our God, where everything will be justly compensated. And oh, yes, we'll be in that land where we have no wants or no needs. Praise the Lord, that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, there was a need. Oh yes, for that young man who came running to Jesus. Oh yes, to take up his cross and follow Jesus. Not to trust in his riches, but oh yes, to leave those behind, because in his case, they were a hindrance to him. They were not helping him at all. They were hindering him from entering into the kingdom of heaven. Oh my, is anything worth it? Oh, I say no, nothing is worth that. Oh yes, because there are treasures far beyond that on the other side. Oh yes, our God knows how to give us those things. Oh, yes, that he has promised. Oh, God knows, oh, yes, how we will be blessed in that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter here now. Luke chapter 14 and read another story that Jesus told us here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We will start with verse 16 here in Luke, the 14th chapter. And here is what Jesus was saying in this story that he was telling, this parable. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18 tells us, And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Oh my, what a story this is. If we can just imagine how it was as Jesus was telling it, that there was a certain man, and obviously he was a man of esteem, a man of wealth, and he made a great supper. Oh, it took a lot of time, investment, to make that great supper. And, it, you know, finally the moment came when it was ready. Oh, he had invited many, it tells us. But ironically, when it was ready, all at once, all these excuses came to him. You know, when the message came forth, the servant came to bid them to come. All the excuses came forth. All of them that were bidden initially made excuse, it tells us. And, you know, one is saying that he bought a piece of ground and he had to go and see it. Oh, yes, another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got to go prove them. Oh, yes, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, oh, I've married a wife, and I can't come. How it is, you know, we all, too, have an invitation. There's, oh, yes, a great supper that the Lord is preparing for his people, a great appointment that he has made for those that would come. Oh, come and follow me. That cry that goes out, oh yes, come, follow me. I will give unto you eternal life, so to speak. Repent and turn from your ways and follow me. And there are great and wonderful things that our God has prepared for his people. But how sad it is. So often people let excuses get in the way. People have priorities, and oh yes, they make them top of the list. And instead of doing the things that the Lord would ask them to do, no, I can't come to church tonight. I can't come because my relatives have come, and I want to spend some time with them. Oh yes, or maybe someone thinks, oh my, well, my favorite television program is on. I can't come. I don't want to miss my program. oh, there's a concert tonight. I've got to go see that. I've got to go participate. You know, I've got this meeting. I've got this job. I've got these other responsibilities. Oh, my wife may not like it. I can't come. I don't want to upset her. Oh, how it is. Oh, sometimes it's, oh, yes, my back hurts too badly. I don't think I can come. But, oh, the Lord has great things that He's prepared for His people. And, yes, there's that invitation to eternal life that He has set forth. And all that would come, all that are thirsty, all that are hungry for the living water, oh, yes, all are bidden to come and drink of the water of life freely. But very sad to say, many people make excuses. Oh, let those excuses come in and intervene there so that, oh my, they don't go forth and do the will of God. And, oh, they don't come to the living waters. They don't come to the Lord Jesus and give their lives to Him. And it's sad because, oh yes, there is great reward. Oh, there is eternal life. Oh, there are great provisions for the people that will turn their hearts over to God, plus the peace that He gives us, the joy that enters into our soul. Oh, just the fact, oh yes, that all is well deep within. And, oh yes, that place that He put within each and every one of us that is reserved for Him, for the Almighty God. I'll tell you what, we're never going to be satisfied. People try to fill that void with things, with possessions, with thoughts, with books, with all kinds of ideas, with theologies, with religions, all kinds of vain things, but it doesn't fill that empty void that is reserved for the Lord Jesus. Oh, I pray that you've given your heart to the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful that we still have moments to give our lives over to the Lord. And it's such a thing, all these people in this parable made excuse, all those that had been initially invited to this great supper. But there was room, oh, and there was a need. Oh yes, there had to be participants in this supper. So the Lord called unto His servant and told him, yes, that he needed to go out quickly, immediately out into the streets and lanes of the city. And yes, bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Oh yes, the people that maybe wouldn't usually be invited or expected to come to such a great event. But praise the Lord, they were the ones that were willing to come. Isn't that amazing? Oh yes, and so they came. But yet there was room. There was still room for more people to come. So this time the Lord said unto His servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them. Oh, insist. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Oh my, such a moment. Such a need. Oh yes. There was this insistence. There was certain space. There were certain rooms. Those that initially received the invitation had refused it. But yes, those spots had to be filled. And praise the Lord, oh yes. They went out into the highways and hedges to compel those that they could find to come in. For there was a need that that house would be filled. And so it is. Our Lord has called. Oh yes, and oh yes, He has called forth a people to come and serve Him, to turn their lives over to the living God, to repent, to take up their cross and follow Him. And in spite of the greatness, oh, that is promised to those that would heed this invitation. Oh, the blessings that would follow, the joy, the peace that would come because of one's willingness to obey and come to the Lord Jesus. Still, so many refuse and ignore and make excuses. You know, it could be an excuse thinking that I'm just not ready at the moment. But, you know, by and by, I intend to make it right with the Lord. I had a man sit with me at this very table, two, 3 years ago. And, yes, he was selling me windows and all that sort of thing. But we had a good talk about the Lord. Oh, yes, we got into some deep things. I got to talk to him very personally. And I said, you know, you need to make your heart right with God. And you know what? He was pricked in his heart. I could tell the Lord was working on him. And yet he said, I'm not ready. I pray that someday I will be ready. I'm not ready right now. I pray that someday he would indeed be ready. But yet we don't know. Today is the accepted day. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. We just have now to get our hearts right with God. We just have now to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that there are some that turn their lives over to the living God and come to Him to make haste. Oh, yes, to hurry. Oh, yes, to make haste. To make sure that the life, the soul is in order. Oh, yes, and things are given over to God. Jesus said here in Luke 14, verse 24, For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And it tells us in verse 25, And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. What Jesus was saying here is that there is a need, that before anything else in our life, that we would put the Lord Jesus Christ first, before all our plans and ambitions, before the love of our family and loved ones, that we would love Him first. And no matter what the consequences might end up being, that we would seek to follow Him, that we would seek to do His will, that we would be His disciple, indeed, being under His discipline, His discipleship, and take up that cross that He would give us to follow Him. Oh, the cross is the responsibilities, the heartbeat that the Lord gives us as individuals, the things that He has desired us to do in order to fulfill His will. Oh, there is a great harvest at stake. Oh, there are many souls that need to yet be rescued. And there are people that need to be found. Jesus talked about how that harvest indeed was even in His own time. Oh, there are many out there that were like sheep that were lost, and they were scattered. Oh, they were confused. They didn't have hope. They didn't know how to find words of life, so to speak. But the Lord commissions people. He commissions His children to go into the world and to teach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, praise the Lord. He puts that within us, His children, so that we will go out and be participants in His harvest, to gather what we can before the harvest is complete, because that day is coming. Oh yes, when the harvest is full, His house is full, like He said in the parable, that my house may be filled. Yes, it's going to be complete. God is calling. The door of salvation is opened right now, but there is a day And the harvest will be over when it will be completed, when all of this will be over and that door will be shut. When God shuts the door, no man is going to be able to open it again. Oh yes, he's going to take the sickle to reap the harvest. And it will be over. It will be past. Time will be no more. Yes, as that angel, one land, one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and declares that time shall be no longer. All that time is coming. And how we need, oh yes, to make haste to get our lives right with Almighty God. Oh, yes, to do His will, not to make excuses. There will always be an excuse. I've seen it happen again and again. If you keep on procrastinating, if you keep on putting off this or that, those excuses pop up one after the other. The devil's very, very good at giving excuses. Oh, he's just an expert at it. But praise the Lord. We have need to make our priorities serving the Lord Jesus Christ, to give Him our hearts now while we yet have a little time. Yes, to take up that cross now and follow the Lord Jesus. In fact, to take up that cross daily and follow our Lord. Amen. Oh, yes, that great need, yes. And He said it in such a way here in this 14th chapter of Luke. Verse 27 again, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Oh yes, that's putting it very clearly. Praise the Lord, we have opportunity right now to follow after the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. If we look at the 12th chapter of the book of Luke here for a moment. Oh, yes. Jesus taught us, and this chapter has many of the same details as the 6th chapter Matthew has. But he taught us, if we look at verse 22 here, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, that great importance that we have to give our treasure over to the things of God. Oh, yes, to have our treasures in heaven, the things that we do for the kingdom of God, the things that we do for the cause of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, there's nothing so needful as that. And the Lord is telling us in this scripture that He's going to take care of us. Praise the Lord. I think that was my conversation with my daughter Anna I think that was yesterday, Anna. But anyway, you know, it seems that you were telling me that you felt that the Lord was telling you, as we consider the things that are going on in the world right now, the Lord was telling you that He would take care of us. He would provide for us. He would make our needs known and make a way. Praise the Lord. That's our Heavenly Father. Yes, He would have us to know that He knows how to take care of us. Oh, yeah, the ravens, they don't have to sow, they don't have to reap, but the Lord takes care of them. They don't have to have barns or storehouses, and God feeds them. The lilies, oh my, they're so beautiful, but they don't have to toil, they don't have to spin, they don't have to put a great effort forth. But God knows how to provide those things that we have need of. Just as He provides for the ravens, and just how He makes the lilies to grow. Oh, yes, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed or arrayed like one of those beautiful flowers that the Lord has created. And praise the Lord. So He told us, yes, not to seek what we should eat or what we should drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Oh, no, we need to cast all our care upon the Lord. He careth for us. Oh, yes, we're not to take thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, as Matthew 6:34 tells us. Yes, the nations of the world, Jesus says, seek after all these things that are natural and carnal, you know, but, oh, our Heavenly Father knows the things that we have need of, and He knows how to provide for us. And yes, the bottom line is, as it tells us in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, the wonderful provisions of our God, the ways that He blesses us, the way that He makes, oh yes, our needs taken care of. Praise the Lord. Oh, there is nothing too hard for our God. We will put our faith and trust in Him and not be of a doubtful mind. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So how do we take up our cross? Yes. Oh, we know that our Lord has promised that He would take care of us. Amen. So we can put all of that into His hands, can't we? Oh, yes, we can commit those things into His hands and yes, go forth and do the will of God. If we turn now to Colossians, the third chapter, I think this chapter also is very good in telling us how that we can carry that cross that the Lord would have us to carry and take up and follow Him. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Praise our God. Tells us in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. If we've been risen with Christ, and it tells us in Colossians 2, verse 12, that we are buried with Him in baptism. Praise the Lord. We were baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. It's a burial. It's as we are buried or identifying with the Lord Jesus in those waters. And when we come up out of the waters, it's as we are risen with Him. Yes, that 12th verse there in Colossians 2, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Praise the Lord. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, wonderful things happen in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. Those sins that we died out to, praise the Lord, are forgiven. Praise the Lord. And yes, He quickens us. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. He makes us alive, new creatures in Christ Jesus. And those trespasses, are buried with him in those waters of baptism. Praise our God. So here again, verse 1 in chapter 3 of Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Yes, if we've embraced that burial and resurrection with Christ, then, oh yes, our whole way of thinking is going to be different after that. It tells us here, if this is the case, then you're going to seek those things which are above. You need to seek those things which are above. Oh yes, the things of this world are carnal. And you know, that's what most people seek after. But the Lord gives us new perspectives when we truly give our lives over to Him and take up that cross and follow Him. Praise the Lord. Yes, then that desire to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. And verse 2 tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Praise the Lord. Our whole perspective begins to change as we yield it over to the Lord, as we take up that cross to follow God. Oh yes, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. And as it tells us in 1 John, that second chapter, oh, when we've given our lives over to the Lord Jesus, then it's going to be within us. As verse 15, 1 John chapter 2 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, all these things down here on this terrestrial plane are temporal. They're just for a moment. And you know, there's these things that appease the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But that's not what God wants us to seek after. It explains in verse 17 here, 1 John chapter 2, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, these things are going to pass away. They're all going to be burnt up. There's going to be nothing left one of these days. But praise the Lord, the things that we do for the sake of the kingdom of God, those things are eternal. Praise the Lord. Oh, everything on this earth that can be shaken will be shaken. It's only the things that are deep within, the things that are eternal, that are going to remain. And therefore, yes, we have this need. Oh, to set our affection, our love, oh yes, on things above, not on things on the earth. And verse 3 goes to say, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh yes, we come to the Lord, we die out to sin. Oh yes, we die out to the old man. Yes, as you know, I quoted there from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Those old things, they pass away and all things become new when our lives are given over to the Lord. So we die out to the things of this world. Oh yes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of those things, they are vanity anyway. But oh no, we give our lives over to God, thank the Lord. For ye are dead to the world, in other words, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, that secret place of the Most High, that place of refuge that He gives to His children, where He hides us, you know, under His wings, so to speak, under His blood. Oh, that atoning blood that He shed for us so that our sins might be remitted. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, chapter 6 of Romans explains it so amazingly. Just to read a little portion of it. Romans 6, verse 6. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, our old nature changes, and that desire to serve sin is no longer a part of our thinking if we've given our lives over to the Lord, if we're taking up that cross and following him. Verse 7 here in Romans 6 says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11 here, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we're all headed in that direction. Oh yes, we all have that sin nature within us. We had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But praise the Lord, in giving our lives over to the Lord, we become dead indeed unto sin. But praise the Lord, oh yes, the Lord rises within our being, and oh, we become alive. Oh yes, he makes us alive, that inside, the thing that matters, that eternal life. Oh yes, he brings to us so that we can be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12 here tells us, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's quite a discussion here in this 6th chapter of Romans. But praise the Lord, yes, when we yield our members, our flesh, our being unto God, not unto unrighteousness, not unto sin, but unto God, and then, oh yes, he quickens us, he makes us alive. Oh, we're dead from the old man. Oh, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead. We didn't have that eternal life springing up within us. Oh, we didn't have that well of living water. Oh, praise the Lord, but the Lord made a way. Oh, yes, that we could be made alive in him. Praise the Lord. And yes, back here in Colossians 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." The sense in this verse meaning that our old man is dead within us. And yes, the new man has risen, and now we are hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4 explains, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Oh, what a day that is going to be when, oh yes, our Savior appears. Oh, it's going to be one of these days, one of these moments, one of these days. He is not going to tarry any longer. And it's going to be over. Our God is coming. Oh yes, he's coming with his saints. It says in the book of Jude verse 14, "And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Oh yes, that day when our Lord comes, he's coming, oh, with 10,000s of his saints, all those that have gone on to be with the Lord. And we know that we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we all always forever be with the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord, he's coming again, but he's coming to judge. to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh my, it's going to be of so much value to be hidden in Christ at that moment. Oh yes, to have that old man taken from us. Oh yes, so that we have been carrying our cross, taking it up daily and following the Lord. Oh yes, because as it tells us again here in Colossians 3 verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, see, he becomes our all in all. He becomes our everything. When we turn it all over to him, it's, you know, we live according to his will, what he would have us to do, how he would have us to think. Oh, yes, there's a difference in all things when we turn our lives over to God. But what a wonder it is, because, oh, yes, we can walk through his blood, through his atonement, the way of righteousness. Oh, yes, we can be clothed with his righteousness. Praise the Lord. So that when that moment comes, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, praise the Lord, it tells us, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord. So there are responses then, because our life is hid with God in Christ. Because we have set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Oh yes, it tells us in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All these works of the flesh that need to be put down, all that need never to rise up within us, or if they do, they must be mortified or killed, put down. Yes, and you know, here we're told very clearly to mortify such lustful desires, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, all of these things. Inordinate affection being uncontrolled passions that rise up within individuals. We can see the fruit of that in this time that we live in. Oh, yes, it's all over the place. Concupiscences, evil desires. Oh, people are full of that. You can see it on their faces. You can see it in their attitudes. It comes out of their mouths. Yes, you can tell by the way they dress, even. All these things, and that spirit of covetousness, which is idolatry. Oh, yes, that envying spirit that wants things that are not one's own. That greed that comes forth, which it is also compared to idolatry here in the scripture. And not good, is it? It tells us in verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Oh, we don't want to ever experience the wrath of God. By no means. Oh, no, we want to be saved by his grace. We want to be in the shelter of his arms. Oh, yes, we want to be in Christ. Verse 7 tells us, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Yes, there was a time when we were all walking that road, and thank the Lord that he had such mercy on us, oh, that he would call us, oh, yes, and he'd help us to see our need to turn our lives over to the living God. Oh, I thank the Lord. I'm so glad he somehow got my attention. Oh, we could never thank him and praise him enough for that moment when it dawned on us, oh, that great need to repent of our sins and turn those sins over to God. Oh, praise the Lord. We had all walked in them at one point. We had once lived in that condition. But oh, yes, as new creatures in Christ, now taking up that cross to follow him, it says, oh yes, in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, oh, beyond those lustful tendencies that human nature brings forth. Besides that, put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Oh, all those things go when we give our hearts over to the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, there's a new man walking in our shoes, and we don't talk the way we once talked. And oh, yes, we don't want anger or wrath to rise up within us. It should, if we begin to sense such a tendency, we need to put it down. Oh, yes, and we would not want filthy communication or blasphemy to come out of our mouths. We would never want to have malice as a part of our thinking. Malice being a desire to harm others. Oh, God forbid. Oh, yes. Those were characteristics of our old nature. But thank the Lord, God has made a way that we could turn those tendencies over to the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And yes, oh, if we feel such a thing coming up, thank God we can turn it over to Him. Oh, yes, and ask Him, oh, yes, to forgive us our trespasses and our sins. Thank the Lord. Oh, He is so merciful. And yes, if we do slip up, He has made provision that we can turn it over to Him and be forgiven. Praise the Lord, intending never to do it again by His grace and His mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Then verse 9 here in Colossians 3 tells us, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Oh, yes. Oh, those little white lies that people sometimes tell. And, you know, sometimes people do it so naturally that, you know, I think maybe they don't even know what is truth and what is a lie. You know, and how sad it is. If you tell a lie, you're going to have to cover it up with another one, most likely. Oh, how pathetic it gets. But, yes, it tells us lie not one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Again, yes, we're new creatures when we give our lives over to the Lord and we're following Him. Verse 10 tells us, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, nationality doesn't have any bearings in the kingdom of God. Oh, yes. Those things, you know, whether we're bond or whether we're free, that isn't a matter. That isn't a concern in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Oh yes, the Lord instructing us. The Lord, oh yes, putting it within us how to live, how to talk, how to think. Praise the Lord. And yes, yes, how to be like Jesus. Praise the Lord. And therefore, it tells us in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And it says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, praise the Lord, that love that gives without expectations in return. Oh, yes, here is considered the bond of perfectness. Oh, above all these other things even. Oh, that love that He puts within our being. And oh, yes, not holding on to grudges, not quarreling, or, you know, holding on to things, not having a spirit of unforgiveness within us, but instead forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Let it go. Let it go. Let those silly things go. What do they mean anyway? You know, after a while, you probably even forget why you're not talking to that person or what it was all about. But the love of Christ that comes to dwell within our being, oh, yes, gives us bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, that ability to forbear, to forgive, oh yes, and to turn it all over to Christ to forgive, just as Jesus Christ forgave us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it is so important to forgive one another. That we are told very clearly that if we are not willing to forgive another for their trespasses, their imperfections, then Jesus Christ will not forgive us. Oh, how important it is. Praise the Lord. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And verse 15 tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Praise the Lord. Oh, there is a peace that only the Lord Jesus can give us. And how we need His peace. Oh, yes, the storms of life may be raging. Oh, the sea may be wild. The winds may be howling. But praise the Lord, God has a peace for His people. A peace that passes all understanding. And oh, praise the Lord, a peace that can rule in our hearts. And oh, yes, that is what God has ordained for His people. That no matter what, our hope, our trust is in Him. Praise God. And we know that He is with us. He's in the boat. He's in the ship with us. Even though the sea may be raging and the waves coming into the boat. Yet our God, if He is with us, knows how to control that storm. And, oh yes, to give us safety. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 16 here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the word of Christ. Oh, the wonderful words of life that we have. Oh, the scripture. It is so valuable. That's what we want to have hidden in our heart. That's what we want to have deep within. It is so full of all wisdom. It is so rich. They are the words of life. And praise the Lord, we can teach and admonish one another. Praise the Lord. And it mentions psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I know we've mentioned how those songs of praise lift our spirits. Oh, you could be fighting a fierce battle. Amen. You can be. But praise the Lord, if you start meditating upon the good things of God, oh, if you start singing those songs of praise unto God, that heaviness, that spirit lifts. Amen. Oh, things begin to change. Faith begins to build in our hearts. Praise the Lord when we begin to dwell on the good things of God. I thank God. We have such a privilege. We have psalms, we have hymns, we have spiritual songs. And I've said it before, I love those old hymns. A lot of churches discourage people from singing them. They might not even have a hymnal anymore. But I love those old hymns. Oh yes, often they are a sermon in themselves. And oh my, there is so much edification in many, many of those hymns. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, the wonder of singing psalms, scripture. And oh yes, the other spiritual songs that the Lord puts in our hearts to give praise, to give melody unto the Lord. We can sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Oh yes, like I said, those heavy spirits, oh, they lift when we give it over to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we can lift up our hands too. And oh, yes, there's something about it. As we lift up our hands unto God, oh, we lift up our heart. As it tells us in that third chapter of Lamentation, oh, unto God. And oh, yes, like, again, things begin to change when we dwell upon the Lord, when we are thankful. And, oh, yes, our mind is abounding in the words of life. Praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 17, And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Praise the Lord. Yes, everything we do, we need to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And yes, this includes baptism. Seems pretty ironic, doesn't it, that often people know enough to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, but when it comes to baptism, they don't say the name, the saving name of the Lord Jesus. But here we are commanded in the 17th verse, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And you know, if you can't do it in the name of the Lord, then you better not do it. Oh, it might be something that you better not do at all then, if you can't do it unto God. That is true. He goes on to tell us in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And then it goes on to say in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Oh, what wonders these scriptures declare. Oh, praise the Lord. But what a wonder it is that we can take up our cross and follow the Lord. Instead of following our own intuition and our own selfish motives and ways, we can set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we can give our members over to the living God. We can submit our life unto God. And truly, I believe this is what Jesus was talking about when he said that we need to take up our cross and follow him daily. Oh, yes, the cross that he gives us. Oh, yes, it's individual. We all have a different cross. The Lord doesn't require exactly the same things of all of us. You know, there's some differences because we're all members of the body of Christ and we all have different roles to perform and a part in His kingdom. But praise the Lord, by His grace and His mercy, if we can respond and come after the Lord Jesus, we will do as he admonished in Luke 9. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever loses life for my sake, the same shall save it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there is great blessing in following the Lord, and submitting our lives over to the living God, to getting right with Him. Oh, yes, so that we can do things that will matter for all eternity. Oh, yes, so one day we can stand before Him. Oh, yes, and know that our heart has been cleared of all the things that were destroying us, all the natural elements, all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all those things that would have destroyed us. Praise the Lord. Instead, we give our lives over to God. We take up our cross daily and we follow the Lord and praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Losing our lives for the sake of the gospel, but yet saving it. Oh, yes, for the sake of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we can set our affections on things above, therefore, and not on things on the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you given your lives over to the Lord? Are you following Him? Have you taken up your cross to follow Him? Oh, yes. Oh, it's going to reap great benefits, great blessings. It's going to be worth everything to hear our Heavenly Father tell us, oh, yes, that it is well. Oh, yes, that we can enter into the joys of our Lord because we have committed those things unto God. And praise the Lord, we have taken up our cross to follow the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I pray that everyone, oh yes, under the sound of this message, will submit their life over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful, joyful thing it is to know that our hearts are right with God and that we are walking with Him. Oh, yes, and doing His will. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We will not have to be recipients of His wrath, but rather recipients of His eternal grace and blessings. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Oh, God, help us, Lord, as we walk this life. Keep us in the way everlasting, Lord, and help us as we take that cross and follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, as we close here for the evening, why don't we sing a song that has so often kind of become a theme song for this ministry, and with everything happening in the world, it seems more appropriate to sing it, and with the message tonight, it seems appropriate to sing it again. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking By Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, with that, we'll dismiss for the night, and may God bless you all. Be safe out there, and we hope you can tune in next time. God bless.
Praise the Lord.